Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name is Zach, and this week I've got the regular crew. I have Mark, and I have Steve. Mark, how are you today?
I am ready for action. How are you?
Scurvy.
Okay.
You guys usually steal those corny lines, so I had to do it.
It's fair. Yeah, of course.
Steve?
Scurvy's not a verb. I'm doing
he's great. A rebel.
I'm just fine, thank you.
Cool. Oh man, this is already a good start.
Yeah.
But today we are going to be continuing our story in Flash Bash and Panache. This week it is Steve's week.
It is indeed. Yep.
So I will, I mean, who wants to do a recap? Mark, do you want to do a recap?
Yeah, I guess I probably should. As I remember, we arrived in the city of San Cristobal in Castile, where Mateo ran into, some old friends from Avalon, a certain group of urchins who were, branching out, across the water a little bit.
They've gone international. Yep.
from what Claire had explained to you all, they were here to get what's his name? Gaspar's urchins or bandits out
right.
of Avalon.
Right. Gaspar's urchins were actually the ones who are kind of pushing their territory into Avalon. So they had right. come here on kind of a fact-finding mission, to try and, see what was going on. They ran into Nathaniel and Mateo and requested some help.
And since Mateo has history with Gaspar, he was more than happy to assist with rounding him up and dragging him into the constable.
Exactly. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, that Mateo made contact with his priest friend, Father
Pepe.
Yes.
So they kind of reestablished that connection. Basically it all kind of accumulated in a confrontation with Gaspar and made him wet his pants, if I remember correctly.
that was about the response he had.
There were a lot of successes in that role.
So many successes in this role.
Yes.
You don't even understand.
Yes.
I guess at that point, that kind of rounds up that last session, and we'll go ahead and hand this over to Steve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you all wake up at an inn one morning in San Cristobal, the same inn you've been sleeping at for the past week or so since you've been here. It's been about a week, right, since we got into town?
Probably about
roughly.
That, yeah.
Seems like that works. Everybody, as everyone's kind of waking up, Mateo rolls in and as you're eating breakfast, and he kind of announces that he wants to go spend some more time with Father Pepe and dig around, reconnect with some of his old friends. So he's going to spend the day doing that, and he grabs a sausage with him and strolls out the door.
Sounds reasonable. And Ryan is back by this point,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yes, so. Ryan has returned okay. at this point.
Yes. As we always do.
Yes.
So, rotation accomplished.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's been, let's see, there's nothing really on your docket today, although Nathaniel has a little check-in that he might want to do at some point today. But you're, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably a good plan. So, yeah. Finish breakfast. Anything? You got anything on your to-do list, Ryan?
I need to talk to some people down at the docks, but that can be at any time while we're here. It's nothing pressing.
That actually coincides with what your plans are. Your stuff is down by the docks too.
That is true. Yes. So off to the docks it is then.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, finish breakfast and let's head that way.
Okay. You do that. Okay. So it's a bright, shiny morning. The city looks pretty much normally like it is. Children are playing. People are busy. Merchants are bustling, and you make your way down to the docks. Obviously you've been that way plenty of times. Nathaniel's been this way a few times in the past to meet up with his some acquaintances down there before, so he's familiar with this area too.
Okay.
Nathaniel, did you want to do your thing first, or do you want to or Ryan, yeah, do you want to do yours first? Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's, you know, probably been a good, you know, we just left the tavern. It's probably been a good 10 minutes since we've had anything to drink.
I'm gonna
suggest, getting a little dry here.
Yeah, there's a place down here called the Dolphin I want to hit.
Check that out.
All right, yeah.
Okay. It's the Dolphin is of an extremely large. You make your way through there, and it's right on the waterfront. The way the actual harbor is kind of situated in San Cristobal is that because of kind of changes in the way that the tides are, originally when they first set the city up, it was a very shallow water port, and because they couldn't afford to dredge the port out deeply, they just made extremely long piers that reached out to the ships. Okay. So once the piers were originally 200 feet long, and they went way out into the harbor before it would be deep enough for the ships to actually harbor off and load and unload down these really long docks. Now that was years ago. So in the intervening time since then, the city has grown up. Trade has made it really, really bustling. In the past probably 100 years, it's the area around the docks is built up, and people have started kind of building over the water. They've sort of connected, you know, one dock to another here and there, and then they've started putting up like first temporary structures and then actual buildings. So this bar, the Dolphin, is the largest bar on the waterfront. It's actually constructed like entirely over the water, on this sort of extended dock platform that is kind of built and rebuilt over time. But there's also, it's not the only bar here that's on there, the only business that's on that. There's plenty of other buildings and offices and kind of even warehouses that have also been sort of built up over the water on this big crazy kind of extended dock structure. So when you walk into the Dolphin, it is packed, and for first thing in the morning, that's a little bit unusual, but it's just a very large bar overall because it's the center of all of the harbor. You've got all of these sailors coming and going. You've got, you know, pirates and traders and captains. Everybody's sort of mixing around in here, and there's a lot of hustle and bustle. The bar itself is extremely long, and they've got two or three bartenders working at any time, but there's enough tables and chairs and stuff to probably accommodate at least, you know, 200-300 people in here. It's just a really large building. And it's also sort of it's got a reputation as just sort of an internationally renowned bar too. So when you walk in, Nathaniel recognizes a couple of familiar faces here and there. Hold on. There's you notice a guy in the corner that you've worked with in the past, and you warmly acknowledge each other with a barely perceivable nod. And there's a bartender that you know, that you're familiar with, who you're kind of here to see. Markel Dominguez.
Okay.
Is who you normally kind of go talk to see if there's anything that needs addressing, any jobs that need to be done.
Martel Dominguez?
Markel. Actually, I like Martel better. Martel. Yeah. That one works better. Martel Dominguez.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Yeah, it does. It's like...
Okay.
You can just imagine this guy standing behind in the scene. He's like, but that's not my name. Wait, what are you guys doing?
You no, see him like, my, he's like, he's got a name a tag. Moment. It's like, hello, my name is Markel. And he's like, swap.
Yep.
That's good. This guy is, he's a really nice, warm fellow. He's rather large, burly. He's got this amazing handlebar mustache. And he's, you know, thoroughly Castilian through and through. So.
Okay. Say to Ryan, you gotta get us a table. I'll get us a couple drinks.
Sure. Fine. All right. I'll find one.
What do you want?
Just an ale.
All right. So yeah, I'll go up to, Martel.
Okay. You roll on up. He kind of winks at you and says, what you having?
Moldavian rum. Red as the sunset.
Mmm. Good choice. He kind of rummages around underneath the bar, pulls out a napkin and an unlabeled red bottle, and puts it on the counter, and pours out sort of a shot glass from this bottle, hands you the napkin and the drink, and he says, it's good to see you again. It's been a while.
Good to see you as well. Oh, and I need an ale, too, if you don't...
Mm, all right, okay. He pours you off an ale from the better stuff, actually. He... Grabs a nicer one because you've associated with him before. You're pretty friendly. As regular as things get around here.
Sounds good. Okay. Where did Ryan sit?
Just over along the side wall, one of the booths.
Okay. If I'm gonna motion towards a booth a little further in the back and head there.
There's an area like towards the back that's sort of away from the bar and a little bit less populated because it's kind of so far from the drinks. Generally, this is the hangout for people that want a little bit more privacy or are trying to do illegal things. So oddly today, it's actually not crowded. A lot of people doing illegal stuff back here. So
hopefully it's near the fire, right?
Yeah, there's a candle on every table.
Fireplace?
There's a little perfect, like a lamp. It's like an oil lamp type thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I kind of sit down.
Okay. Slide into the bench here. It's got high back seats, and the benches are kind of designed. This whole area is sort of designed to make it kind of hard to be overseen or overheard. So
gotcha.
You know.
Okay. Give Ryan his ale, obviously. Mm-hmm. Use Rhine to block the view and take the napkin and kind of wave it over the candle a little bit for a little while.
Okay. It doesn't take long. After just a bit of heat, you see some letters sort of change color and sort of emerge from the napkin, and they give you, let's see, this message. This is in coming over Discord.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
As per protocol, this is your mission. You can disclose as much or as little as you wish to your companions, but your call.
Okay. That sounds good.
Oh, shoot. I screwed up the names at the end of it. You get it.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's interesting.
Actually, here's the amended contact. You probably know this.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
Ryan, you're like, this is pretty good ale.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out.
You've had ale before, but this is ale. the place is also like a zoo, and also there's like millions of people like swarming around. There's poker games going on, so there's a little bit there's everything going on here. This is definitely like sort of a hub for information and commerce in the city.
So, what are we doing here?
Having a drink. It's a good drink, isn't it?
It is a good drink.
Good. You notice Nathaniel hasn't actually had any of his drink yet.
That is true. That is true.
I would ask how yours was, but you haven't had any.
Not exactly in the mood for it. I'll crumple up the napkin and stick it in the drink.
Okay. You do that. Ryan, you notice that almost instantly the napkin dissolves into nothing, as if it were never there.
I mean, he just continues going on like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just saw him do, like, you know, sneaky spy stuff with the note, waving it over a fire too. So this is could just be Nathaniel being Nathaniel. You know, it's not.
Yeah, every one of my my cohorts is very strange in one way or another.
Yeah, actually.
No.
So
you're the normal one. This, I don't know how that happened.
Right? How did that happen? The guy that punches things and drinks a lot is normal. Oh man.
Okay.
So how's your swimming skills?
Fair. I mean, good. I grew up on the sea, so
that's a good thing.
If you wanted to, you could probably, because this is sort of a hustling, you know, whatever of information, you could probably get more information about, you know, any common city topics around the bar if you wanted to ask around.
I'm debating if I want to do that here.
Understandable.
Well, let's start. Ryan, have you ever heard of a ship called the Indestructible?
I have not, but I feel like I should.
Well, turns out it is kind of destructible.
How
apparently,
so?
Apparently it sunk in the harbor here somewhere.
Really?
Yes.
When?
I don't know for sure. Not too long ago.
You haven't heard of the Indestructible either, so yeah. You don't know.
We've got to try and find out where it is.
So we're going to the harbor and swimming.
Probably. If it's sunk, that's probably going to be how we have to get to it.
Yeah, yes.
And if it's sunk and it's a shallow harbor, it's probably out quite a ways too.
I would say.
Yes. I mean,
okay.
That's reasonable.
Okay. So first thing we have to do is figure out where the ship is, where the shipwreck happened.
Well, the first thing we need to do is find a rowboat.
Well, not until we know where we're going.
Just keep paddling around. No sunk ship here.
Yeah.
No. We're just like going from like one end of the city to the other, just carrying a rowboat.
Yeah.
Because we got a rowboat at the place we didn't need to be and had to take the rowboat to the place we need to be.
You are entirely in luck. There's rowboats all over the place.
Cool. Yeah.
It would not be
too
hard
afraid
to,
of.
Not be hard yeah, to acquire we'll a, rowboat. A rowboat.
Yeah. That I'm not too afraid of, but mm-hmm. Figuring out where this ship is. Let's see.
What time is it?
Now, it's worth mentioning that, I mean, it's going to be if something that big has sunk in the harbor, that's going to be relatively common knowledge. Like, it's not common like
true.
It sunk
true.
All quiet-like.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I mean, we could go talk with the dock master. I mean, might be the closest source of knowledge.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, it's probably late morning at this point.
Yeah, I would say it's probably late. What time is it, Steve?
Oh, yeah, it's like 10 o'clock. It's actually not that
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Go talk to
Wait for Ryan.
Master.
Okay. Wait for Ryan to finish his drink.
Okay.
And then,
it's probably already gone at this point, let's be honest.
Fair.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you head on out and you head to the Harbor Master. It's because this is sort of a major trading city. The Harbor Master's office is a big three-story affair. It's a very, very large building. And it's actually got like a lookout kind of tower up on top of it. So he can, or a lookout can keep an eye out for the ships coming and going.
Makes sense.
Head into the, how do you want to proceed with this?
I'm just going to go into the, just go into the main office, and I assume there's some sort of, receptionist or some sort of, entry level, crew at the door.
There is. There's a series of junior administrators by the front door that act as sort of receptionists and schedule things. Apparently, on talking to them, you determine that the Harbor Master himself is a very busy man, but they'll be happy to let you talk with one of his deputies right away, who should have, you know.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That would be great. I'd appreciate any help you can get, but, you know, just nothing too serious. Just if I could talk to a representative, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Well, the clerk leads you up to the second floor and into a nice little corner office. There's a kind of a bookish man sitting at a desk right now, kind of hunched over, scribbling furiously at some scrolls.
Okay. I'll walk up to him and say, good morning to you, good sir. My name is Mikhail Hale. I'm
okay.
I'm from Innsbruck, and I've been writing a book on famous shipwrecks, and I've heard about one that happened right here in your harbor. I'd love to get some information from you on it.
Okay. He doesn't look up from the scroll, but he says, you are very well informed, sir. That particular shipwreck happened just 2 days ago. He still hasn't actually made eye contact yet.
Ah,
he says, are you, if you're looking for the history of it, the details haven't come in yet. We don't know anything about the ship or the place, but it's, and obviously their business is their business. I don't even know if we know where they're out of, truthfully. Hold on, let me, and he actually stops writing, puts his pen down, heads over to, what is, basically a large, like, kind of chest that has a rack of kind of scrolls associated with it, records. And you see him kind of flipping through it. He's like, I'm sorry, this isn't going to be much good for your book. It wasn't a very large ship, I don't know too much about, what was going on, what their business was. But it is a bit of a navigational hazard where it is. So we've gone ahead and placed a buoy on it. He kind of heads over to his window. He opens up the window and kind of says, okay, there. And he points like he's about a mile out. Do you see that little buoy?
Oh, yes.
Little flag?
I see it.
Yeah, we put it there so that nobody happens to run into it. It's probably pretty deep, so I don't think they'd have problems, but just to be on the safe side. We need to put this up until the salvage crew can get to it in a couple of weeks.
I understand. Do you know what caused it to go down yet?
Oh, no idea, honestly. It went down pretty quickly, though, so it was kind of strange. And it was in the middle of the night, so it was kind of a mystery. There was no SOS, and... oddly, you'd think there were actually no survivors too, which is very unusual for a ship this close to land. I mean, it was there, and then a couple minutes later, somebody saw it heading down. But by the time ships actually got there on the scene, all there was some a little bit of debris on the surface, and
it must have gone down pretty quick then.
It was rather mysterious. Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of it myself.
Huh. Well, I appreciate your help.
That's okay. Whatever it had, we'll get it when the salvage crew gets to it in a couple of weeks. They've got divers. They've got gear. They'll be able to recover whatever was in there. And maybe we can help fill in some of these blanks for your book.
I appreciate it. I might come back and see you then.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. And okay. Yep. That's that.
Okay.
Right.
Now, he mentioned salvage companies, so you know, things like he also like basically where it is about a mile out in the water. That's going to be about 40 feet deep. You're going to have a really good swimming skill just to be able to get down that deep. And even then, you're not like this might be. You can you know try to free dive it, but unless you've got some really strong swimming stats, I'm not sure if that's going to go well.
Right.
Plus, you're looking for a particular thing on the wreck. It's not just like it's going to be laying in the sand. You're going to have to
exactly. Yeah, be poking around at it. Yeah. Okay. So we'll head out and I'll say to Ryan. We're looking for a specific package off that ship. Any good ideas on how to get down to a sunken ship?
We could find a diving helmet.
It's true.
Diving bell?
Diving helmets exist. Yeah. You know of such things.
Let's stake out. Is there a recovery, underwater recovery type company nearby?
There are actually a number of underwater salvage places nearby. It's, you know, a very lucrative business around this area.
I'm sure.
Although generally, you know, they're going further out than just the harbor.
Yeah.
Normally, this is also sort of larger operations than just. Yeah, normally it takes a while logistically to set up. So it's not just like you can snap your fingers and there'll be a boat there, like sending people in the water.
Of course.
So, yeah. But yeah, there's large and small salvage outfits. You could probably ask around at a bar and get some information about, you know, one that might be able to work faster or, you know, or that would be willing to rent out their gear.
Yeah, that's probably the route we're going to have to go, is see if we can find somebody who's willing to rent out some gear. I don't think we'll go back to the Dolphin, but see if there's another, somewhere else that we can kind of pass the word along the street, maybe the docks, loading docks or something.
Okay. You head to the loading docks and there's another bar that's sort of on the pier. This one's a lot smaller than the Dolphin and it's also pushed quite a ways back. So it's a little bit more discreet and dark and nefarious. And, you head in. This place it's full of like sailors and dock workers and, you know, hardworking types. Also some shady possible like moonlight pirates going on too. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Get a couple of drinks and, start talking to the bartender. So I'm looking for to rent some equipment. Do you know anybody who does some underwater salvage?
He's like, oh, absolutely. He rattles off two or three companies. There's one in particular, one big trading company that he tries to kind of push you towards, and it doesn't take much to figure out that they're going to give him a cutback or offer him commissions if he sends business their way.
Right.
Go ahead and give me a roll. Because right now, basically, the issue is he knows every salvage outfit in town, and he's trying to steer you towards the ones that'll give you kickbacks. And what you're looking for is something that's both
or no questions asked type.
No questions asked, and also fast, because like I said, usually like you know these are the sort of things you commission someone to go out like 3 months from now and do your ship. You want someone
preferably somebody who'll rent us the equipment so we can do
do it immediately.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Quiet. And not have to give them anything or let them benefit in any way.
Yeah.
So panache convince perhaps?
Yeah, panache convinced sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay, one, two.
Two with an extra die?
With an extra die. Yep.
Oh, roll an extra die as well.
Oh right, first time you did this, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that. All right.
Okay,
so that gives me three.
Three successes. Okay, great.
Yep.
So with your successes, you can get more information. You can basically spend one success and make sure that you're the source of what you're looking for is concealed. Like, basically make sure that he doesn't know, like, what the job you're talking about is. He doesn't have enough information to put that together.
Perfect, yes.
And let's see, for your other two, one gives you news about sort of a bookish kind of weird diver hermit guy. That's super eccentric, and he also kind of mentions under the breath that his gear may not be the best, and the last person who used it died. The second piece of information he gives you is that, well, he's also kind of like, well, there's better places you can go, and he's kind of trying to steer you back to something you know about, but one of the other bar patrons kind of heads up to you, and she kind of like elbows in and says, "Oh, well, if you're looking for salvage, there's a local outfit that can work really fast and no questions asked, and they actually have their office at that back seat back there in the bar."
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the help.
Anytime.
Do you happen to know what they drink?
A class act, top shelf stuff. So, you can, maybe one of those, the James whiskeys up there. You definitely make a good impression.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I'll buy one of the drinks then and take that over to the, to the booth.
Okay. You, head back to the booth. You notice nobody's there, but you also notice that there's stuff on the back side of the booth. There's like actually papers on the table. It's like someone's been doing business out of here. They've got like a ledger and some papers and a quill set up. So it's you know, like they spend a lot of time in this booth.
Gotcha.
So you slide back there with the whiskey, and then the lady who you were talking to at the bar slides into the other side of the table and says, "Jill, smiling Jill, pleased to make your acquaintance." She offers you a hand.
Huh. Happy to make your acquaintance as well. Shake her hand.
Okay. She takes the whiskey, downs it in one swipe, gives you a great big smile. Clearly, you know how she got her name. And... And says, "So, I hear you're looking for salvage. How can I help?"
"Well, as I said, one of the biggest thing is the minimum of questions, if we understand each other."
"No questions asked is my specialty. In fact, we don't do anything really super official. We're kind of a smaller outfit. We're not really equipped to, say, go after sort of the broader tonnage that most people are looking for salvage. Usually what we go for is individual people that want to keep the news out of it and want to make sure that nobody, their business stays personal. That's what we do."
"That sounds like what we're looking for. Are you familiar with the Indestructible?"
"Oh yeah, the one that came in the other day and sank off the harbor. Yeah. Indeed I am. Haven't made it out that way yet, but yeah. If you're looking to get out there, we could certainly make that happen today for you."
"I'd appreciate it very much."
"Okay.
What needs to happen to make that happen?"
"Well, a little bit of money needs to change hands," and she kind of snickers for some reason, because that doesn't seem like a joke.
Of course.
And she says, "Well, here's the thing. We're not really a conventional salvage outfit. We don't have a big boat. We don't have the cranes, and we don't have large teams of divers with expensive equipment. That's how we keep the overhead low and pass on the savings to our customers. What we do have is a bit of very specialized gear that's somewhat supernatural in question. And when she says that, she kind of eyes you to see what your reaction is.
Yeah, I probably raise an eyebrow to that, but
okay.
I wouldn't.
I'm still listening.
It's like,
Ryan has
on.
Encountered so many supernatural beings in his time.
She's like, okay, well, it just so happens that my partner in this business enterprise, it's just the two of us, has a bit of he's got a bit of a condition. See, he's formerly a member of a trade that we don't like to associate with around in our new legitimate practice here, but let's just say they're the sort that usually ends up hung. And he, during his travels, he kind of made a deal with a certain legendary pirate king, and as such has come across a condition that allows him to breathe underwater. Now, he has a particular relic that he would be willing to rent a person for a sizable sum of money, or he would be willing to swim out to the wreck and recover whatever you'd like in just a matter of an hour or two, if you'd rather have us do all the heavy lifting. Assuming that what you need is something that's no more heavy than a single man can lift.
Oh, no, it should be relatively easy to find, easy to carry.
How hefty is the sum to rent?
Well, if you'd like us to pop out and get any of it for you, we could do that for maybe 500 gold.
And if we needed to do it ourselves?
Well, let me warn you that you'll probably be happier if you have us do it. The process itself is a little uncomfortable and not without risk. However, if you would rather take care of this on your own, we can make that work for 1,000 gold. Now, 1,000 would be enough to actually buy that rowboat certainly, but you know, that's a pretty good chunk of money.
Right.
Now she says, on the upside, if you're wondering, we don't need payment in full up front. You can pay us when you've got your item.
I kind of turn to Nathaniel and wait for a response.
And we can accompany you on the boat at least, right?
Boat? Blink, blink. She's like,
wherever you...
actually don't have a boat, per se. As I said, my associate, that's how we keep overhead low, is he just tends to swim wherever we're going. If it's someplace in parts unknown, or, well, at least near somewhere in the area, we can take a ship out and travel to some place to go do it, but typically we don't have an actual boat itself. If you wanted to, I can get a rowboat, no problem. If you're looking for a small boat to come out to the scene, we can do that too. That can be arranged as part of the fee. Because, like I said, getting rowboats is not an issue here. Like, there are boats all over the place.
Right. All right, I'll agree to it. 100 up front, 400 when we get the parcel. The parcel intact, as I should specify.
Okay, so you're going to have her do it then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you, okay, so she says, oh, wonderful. Okay, come with me. And she leads you out of the bar and down one of the docks.
Okay.
She gets sort of not to the end of the dock, but well, actually, it's just on the dock, just on the water. And she kind of kneels down on the dock and starts like snapping by the water. And she kind of like splashes it a little bit, like she's trying to like attract somebody. And sure enough, after a minute or two, this pale gray bald head kind of raises out of the water. it's a man. He's you can't tell how tall he is because it's, you know, in the murky water. But he kind of lifts at least his eyes over the water. He doesn't actually come all the way out. He's in the water. All you can really tell about him from here is that he's got some sort of a bandana or a handkerchief wrapped around his head. The lower part of his head. And he's just sort of bobbing in the waves. And she says, "Hi, gentlemen, meet my associate, Tiburon. I call him Tibbs. You shouldn't call him Tibbs. You should call him Tiburon. He's a friend. We've got history, and he's very reliable. And he's the one who's going to be he'll bring back your goods for you."
Okay. Specifically, what we're looking for is a
wait. Can I let's see. Hold on. Get a roll for this. Give me a perception roll.
Wits empathy. Okay, good.
And don't forget an extra die as well.
Ooh. Wow.
Three on the dot.
Three. Okay. That's plenty. Okay, well, one success will tell you that Smiling Jill is absolutely not to be trusted. She will, if she perceives that you have anything of value, take it and run. She definitely seems like a thief. You know, just her mannerisms and her tics and whatever, you know, she's... You're inclined not to trust her. Two successes tells you that this floating head in the water is barely human. Like, there's not a lot going on behind those dead eyes. It really feels like you're looking at a shark. But, you know, it's that's kind of where you are. So, on the other hand, with that third success, you can use that to kind of maybe renegotiate or change the terms of the agreement to something that you'd prefer.
Interesting.
There's so many red flags here. Like, basically, just that's what you've managed to pick up in this whole thing is like, yeah, you're sure this guy can, like, he's been sitting here breathing water and staring at you the whole time. So, like, absolutely, he has some sort of, like, underwater relic. And if she says that, you know, you can rent it, then great or something. But, like, you don't trust either one of these as far as you can throw them.
Yeah.
Okay. And so where exactly are we? We're out on the dock.
You're on the dock, not the end of the dock, but towards the shore side of the dock.
Okay.
And you're looking into the water, and there's this Tiburon, the gray shark head here, just staring deadly at you. And and Smiling Jill is bantering and flirting away. She's having a great time. She definitely took the slutty pirate costume this year.
Okay.
And Seems about right.
Makes sense.
All right. How long would it take you to get an item off the indestructible?
He's like, well, he's a pretty good swimmer. He could probably make it out there and back in an hour just for travel time. And depending on what you're looking for, if it's hard to find or if it's, you know, it could be buried in sand, who knows? It might take a few hours for him to locate it. So, you know, within 3-4 hours, we could definitely have it done today, though. Now, okay, I know you mentioned discretion, but I would not advise trying to do this at night. It's pretty much impossible to see anything underwater at night, so.
It's understandable.
Now, I notice you seem to be a little bit uncomfortable here. I'm sorry if maybe the price tag scared you a little bit. We could maybe back it down. You know, it's a good clean day. We could probably do it for 400.
I'm not worried about the price. It's just a matter of making sure that, you know, as I said, I'm worried about being noticed. This is it's a very important item, you understand. I'm okay with the price. Could you give us just a moment?
Yeah, certainly. Okay. She takes off down the dock back a little east of the way. Tibbs Dipperon does not move at all. He's just sitting there staring at you. She kind okay. of, once she gets to the kind of more over towards the side, she sort of snaps a little bit. His head whips around and he heads over towards her.
Okay. Yeah, I'll actually take Ryan probably back closer to shore, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Saying, kind of feel like we need a little extra leverage in this. What do you think?
I agree. How do you intend we find said leverage?
I say we send him off on the assignment. Once he's gone, I'd like you to take Jill somewhere safe until we get the item. We guarantee we get the item.
Fair.
How does that feel to you?
I mean, it's the best option I can think of.
All right. Okay, we're gonna try that. We'll go back and smile at Jill and say,
"Okay."
Well, we still feel like you're the best option for our needs, so we're good with the price. Let's go ahead and do it. Your man here can get us bring us back the item here.
Okay.
We'll feel good about that.
When you were walking up to him, you noticed that, like, Tiburon seemed to be kind of thrashing around in the water a little bit. He wasn't actually, like, saying anything, but he was just sort of, like whipping about. And she's, like, when you walked up, she was like, come on, come on. And when you got up, okay, you smiled, and she says, perfect. So glad to hear it. We'll be happy to help you out here. And she said, I apologize. My associate's been a little bit cranky lately. So, you know, it's, I'm sure it's just, we'll be happy to take care of your problems. If you just, hand over that deposit, we'll be happy to get underway.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give her 100.
Okay.
The older.
As that exchange is kind of going on,
mm-hmm.
I do want to interject and go, we do have one condition on our end, since we are paying quite a sum to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you would flatter us with your company until things are settled, that would make us quite comfortable.
She's like, well, I would love to, although I'll usually I need to stay sort of on the dock. You see, my friend here, he tends to get distracted and wander off. And unless I'm kind of here to remind him of where he needs to go, she kind of glares at him, you know, who knows where he'll end up. So, and he starts kind of like thrashing around a little bit more in the water, just sort of like splashing a little bit with his shoulders. You know, like, it's kind of weird. And she's like, he's like, he's really not feeling like it today. He wants a day off.
I mean, if he's unwilling to deliver, we can find someone else, surely.
That is true.
Well,
that you did inform us there are a lot of companies around.
There takes a while, and it's, you know, the bureaucratic situations. You don't want to go with them. They're
I kind of turn away a little bit. And I kind of mumble under my breath, well, I mean, we've got a lot of time. We don't really have anything pressing here.
That is true.
she kind of taking my attention away from her.
Okay.
Going away.
She goes like, wait. We can work something out. I'll tell you what. You remember how I mentioned that you could rent out his gear, his equipment? I can let you have that for just 200 gold. If you bring it right back. Well, you'll bring it right back. Don't worry. But yeah, 200 gold.
You said that was pretty uncomfortable equipment, kind of dangerous, didn't you?
Dangerous? No, I overstated. It's not a, it's a little bit unsettling because, you know, she kind of glances down at him and back up at you. You know, but, you know, it's perfectly safe. We've rented it, you know, this has gone off without a hitch before. Honestly, we've done this before. It's sometimes Tiburon needs a day off, and this is really the only way we can get him out of the water. So it kind of killed two birds with one stone.
Hmm.
I'm very hesitant.
Me too.
He's like, let me.
He gets out of the water.
Let me explain to you the process here. You see, he got part of this transaction. It turns out that these, you know, relics from long dead sea demons. It turns out that sometimes they're a little bit more cursed than beneficial, as in the case with my friend Tiburon here. He found himself in possession of this bandana that allowed him to breathe underwater. He found he could no longer breathe in air, and you know, so he now spends all of his time in the water, except on those rare occasions when he can convince someone else to. I mean, somebody is willing to. Take the relic from him for a period, so he can come up on land and, you know, have an ale and grab a pint and some food like a regular person. So he would be more than happy to hand it over for a period of time, and you can commence with your business, do what you need, and just bring it back to us when you're done. Now, if you're asking why I'm so trusting about, you know, hey, I'm sure you'll bring it back to us, like I mentioned. Once you've got that relic on, you can't breathe in the air anymore. So I'm pretty sure you're going to bring it back to us.
Yeah,
how but can I bring it back to you if I can't come on the land and find you?
Well, I'll be right here at the dock. Or if you want, you can. I'll wait here with your friend. We can hang out together. Or if you want, we've got that rowboat. He could come out to the site with you. We could all go out and have a little day at sea. Actually, no, that's a bad idea. Somebody needs to babysit Tibbs. If you're, I can wait at the dock, or I can come out on a boat with you. As long as someone needs to keep an eye on Tibbs while he's at shore. We don't want him wandering off because, well, if he's gone, who else is going to take it? Back.
Okay, I'll head. Give us another minute to confer. I'll step over with Ryan again.
Okay. When you go over there, this time you notice she gets into the water. She's like, don't worry. We'll get this taken care of. I know. You're hungry. I get it. We'll get you some food.
Okay, so I turn with Nathaniel and I say, my only concern with this is why he would want it back once it's gone.
That's my concern too.
Yeah.
So if I take it and go for a swim, it's going to be up to you to make sure that they're still here and eager to take it back when we're ready. You up for that?
I mean, of course. Always.
I'd feel better going down there myself anyway, just because of the nature of the item.
Absolutely. What is this anyways?
It's a ledger. I'm not sure what's on it, but just something that the captain had. All right, we'll head back and say, all right, we'll accept your proposal.
Ah, excellent. Beautiful. Okay, well, perfect. Okay, if you can, if you would be so good, just you'll actually have to pay Tibbs down there. If you could just hand him the gold. And you might want to remove anything that you don't want to get wet from your person.
Yeah, I'll basically strip down and hop in the water.
Okay.
And then, yeah, We'll go ahead and pay him. We'll pay him again. We'll pay 100 now and 100 when they take the relic back.
Okay. Okay. When you get into the water and you hand you've got like a sort of a purse of the coins and you hand it to Tiburon, and when he takes the gold, the bandana launches itself from his head and wraps around your face. Okay. Hmm. And instantly it kind of smothers you. It's sort of like you're trying to breathe through a plastic bag. It's just like, and it's glomped onto your skull. And it's extremely unsettling.
Okay.
Jill says, okay, just stay calm. Put your head underwater.
Yeah. Okay. I'll dunk underwater and.
Okay. You dunk underwater and you find that you can sort of breathe underwater, through this. Interestingly, when you breathe, it feels very unusual because it's the water is actually passing through a series of gills that you suddenly have developed on the side of your neck. Hmm.
Okay.
You notice, now that you've actually seen the thing flying at you, the bandana that he had around his head, it's got a picture of like a shark mouth with, all the teeth on it on the bandana. Right. So now it's like stuck on your head. You've got this like weird shark face going on.
Excellent.
It's a pretty good look. You gotta say Ryan's rather impressed. He's like, wow.
Okay.
I'm jealous. I wish I would have paid the man.
Okay. Well, I'll give Ryan a thumbs up just to make sure.
Okay. You know. Ryan's understandably concerned.
Yeah.
And you look around and Tibbs is gone. He's not gone. He's right there. He seems to have like somehow silently without anyone noticing, pulled himself up onto the pier and is now out of the water.
Okay.
Without a sound. And, he's staring intently at Ryan in a rather unsettling fashion.
I give him the same shark eye stare back.
Okay. You go ahead and roll a panache intimidate for me.
Oh god. Okay. Holy four.
Jeez.
That is with an extra die.
Okay.
10, 9, 8, 3, 1.
You deliver an absolutely intimidating glare at him, like so much so that the posts in the dock behind just sort of melt. And
they start to like the splinters start to like fold back, like peel back.
Yeah, like suddenly you notice like people who have nothing to do with this conversation have moved to the other side of the street. And and yet Tiburon is just continuing to stare, not at you, but more through you.
Through me.
This is like having a staring conversation with like a log. Like he's not
nice.
It's just there's not a lot going on behind those eyeballs.
Gotcha.
About that time.
He looks like the kind of guy that would make a deal with the undead pirate ghost spirit.
He looks like the undead pirate ghost spirit. Like at this point. About this time, Jill snaps in front of him in his eyes, and he whips his head around to her. It's like, Tiburon, good to see you out of the water. Enjoying yourself? Nice. Yeah, right? Yeah, loosen those legs up. She kind of like, you know, it's like, it's got to feel good, right? You can dry out a little bit. You notice this guy is like, at this point, you know, completely hairless because he's bald, and he's got this weird gray skin. He looks like a shark. And, and she says, well, I'll tell you what, there's a bar down the street. Why don't you, head over there? We can all go. How about that? Or if you want, I can stay here and keep an eye, out in the water. If you might need some, hand, where do you want me? I'll just leave it at that.
I kind of look down at Nathaniel. By looking down at Nathaniel, do I get that he wants me to have her with me?
I'm assuming I can't talk.
You can't talk. Exactly. That's true. Yeah. You can, however, do hand motions. You can, like, one way, point the other.
I just kind of give him a shrug and
know. Yeah, I take that as a okay. Use your discretion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I need. So
a wet, squishy absolutely. Drug. Okay. And she's like, I'll tell you what. Why don't we all head into the bar here? Drinks are on me. Yeah. We'll see if we can't get Tib started here. He's probably pretty hungry.
I kind of, as we kind of walk down the street, I kind of mumble, drinks better be on you.
Yeah.
And then I let Nathaniel kind of do his own thing and head out to do whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you head down to there's a bar within eyesight that you head into. It's pretty much just the first place you can find. And you stroll on in and you notice, like, every now and then, like, Tib starts, like, looking at people, or he'll start, like, kind of following the wrong person, and Jill sort of snaps and brings him back over to him, and gets him over to the bar that way, and gets him sitting at the bar, and bartender kind of slides over and says, oh, what'll it be, mate? And he just sort of taps on the bar twice, and he's like, so... ale then, I guess. Okay. And pours him an ale and says, would you like some food? He kind of taps on the bar again and, okay, I'll get you some food. And Jill's, like, she actually seems visibly relieved. Like, she seems a lot less stressed now that, like, he's in here and he's eating and, you know, he's situated. It feels like she's done this before and it hasn't gone so well.
Ah. Do we want to call it there right now? It's been little over an hour.
I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely.
This is the halfway.
Then we'll definitely wrap that up here. And we will continue Steve's story next time here. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. I've had a blast like always, and I look forward to the next one.
And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at TabletopCast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on Facebook.com/TabletopRadioHour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is TabletopRadioHour@gmail.com. Our website, TabletopRadioHour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening and keep rolling 20s.